Blog Talk Radio.
It's
no, you don't want to call? Oh, there we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Consciousness Shift here on Saturday on Here Be Monsters. And I am joined, my name is Nicole Tomasini. I am joined by my co-host, Gwendolyn Barry. And we also have our reoccurring special guest, Ruth Ann Amartafeo. Hello, ladies. How are you doing today?
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
Thank you.
Before we go on, I just want to, one small thing, anybody listening in archive or listening today, please send light and love to those brave souls who are out in our streets marching for a purpose right now. Keep them safe.
Absolutely, and keep the light standard. That's what we all, I'm sure, are working on in our own way and in our own lives. But to extend it out to the others that are doing the work in the streets, very good idea, and can really shift paradigms if we are always focusing on the love and the light.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Well, we make a difference. We're the pebble in the pond.
That's right. Absolutely. And today we are talking about the pebble in the pond, depending on your perspective, Saturn, the planet Saturn, and when it returns back to where it was when you were born, which happens every 29 and a half so years. So Saturn...
It can actually happen within 27 to 30 years, I'm told.
Nice. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, because I'm not yet 60. Okay.
And as I understand it, you can also have sort of little run-ins with Saturn that are not necessarily every 29 years, right? There's a time where it sort of comes into your chart in a certain way where you're kind of having a little Saturn returns.
You know, I'm not familiar enough to really go into any kind of discussion on that, but...
Well, it sounds like to me, from listening to the astrologers, that when Saturn is in certain configurations and depending on what your sign is, it can do what Saturn does, which is confronts you with your fears and what's working, what's not working. It can be seen as the taskmaster that makes you own up for what you've done, haven't done, good or bad, where are you, what's happening.
Well, no, that only makes sense, though. Because people, throughout your life, you do face that, if you're aware. And so, yeah, sure, just mini returns then.
Yeah. And obviously it's something that just happens in life. So learning to deal with Saturn and its energies, and really just when you find yourself face to face with any kind of inner fear you have, it's what we need to work on right now as individuals and as a planet. So it's a good topic.
I'm personally still going through until September of this new year of 2015. I have a Saturn square Pluto going on, which is considered by astrologers to be a time of shedding your skin. So that's there.
Yeah.
It's a sort of just what you explained. It's very put the underworld right below that. You know, just give it a Pluto boost, and we got me going.
Mm. So maybe do you want to begin with telling a little bit about how that actually manifests, like in life, what are some of the things that come up?
Well, basically for me, and I think it's about facing mortality again and your responsibilities, but this time the responsibilities are not to the life you're choosing to lead, but the life you've led and your responsibility to yourself to keep yourself renewed, healthy, and reaching for, you know, growth and change too. It wants you, I think, more than anything, wants you to reaccustom yourself to, you know, change, and that happens through crisis or loss. And there's also change that happens in the positive too, because everything in the end is going to bring a positive, as long as you're willing to learn and grow through the experience. It's going to bring you a positive outcome. It's just difficult when it hits, and it's sometimes very unexpected things happen, like you get shoved into a hospital for a reason, or you have to face a financial crisis, or, you know, it's the top hitters. It's not low ball. There's no low ball here. No low ball. It's all pretty high ball, but it's meant to mirror to us what we have also not addressed in our issues that we can still address and turn into a wisdom for the experience.
Absolutely. I found an article called The Skinny on Saturn Returns. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, that's, but you got to remember too, people have other influences astrologically while this happens. Like for me, there's been a Uranus trine Mercury going on since May of last year all the way through January the next year. And that's surprising announcements, which can add to the clutter of shock and turnaround, what now? Or it can be something very positive and happy. And I have a really wonderful helpmate influentially, astrologically in all of this, because since May and through January, I have this Uranus trine my son, which makes me hungry for change no matter what.
Nice. Well, it's funny how us humans, we don't like things to stay the same, but we also can balk at change.
Exactly.
So, like, which one do you want, people? But we don't want things to stay the same. That's not what we came here for. So learning how to deal with change, all of my research on Saturn returns, that was always the message of, listen, this is helping you to grow. This is showing you what's working, what's not working, so that you can move past it. And a lot of times it comes in quitting a job, realizing that you married the wrong person because you were too young, or whatever, you've become another person, epiphanies about what really makes you happy, having babies, going back to school, anything to shake it up. So, but those, we all know that those times in our lives, after the fact, we go, you know, if it wasn't for this not working with this person, I wouldn't be here now doing this that I really enjoy and could never have been if I stayed where I was.
Exactly. And that's what we have to, be aware of. Because I know for me, it was just, oh my God, relationships, moves, all kinds of things. And I didn't really realize it at the time, but I can look back and say, oh yeah. And it wasn't so much spiritual awakenings for me as just life changes. But wow.
Amazing. Tell a little more about that, Ruthann.
Pardon?
Tell a little more about that, like the life changes, and how did you deal with it? Did you freak out? What did you do to stop freaking out?
Well, yeah, it was, you know, you mentioned ending marriages and things, and that's what I did. And not because, you know, anyone who was looking in wouldn't have understood, and I really didn't either, because I had what was somebody that I loved. I wasn't in love with him anymore, but I loved him, and we had a very good life, and, you know, material things and friends, everything. And I was going through something, and I left it all and was much happier. Mm-hmm. But it, and, you know, we do things hopefully for our own sake, not worrying about what people think or say. But I know it was, well, difficult, if not impossible, to explain to people like my relatives who loved him dearly, you know, that kind of thing, that I just wasn't, I was going through that. There's an old song, Is That All There Is? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And that was pretty much where I was in my head. It's like, okay, I've got material things. I've got a man who's crazy about me, and I love him. I'm not in love, but I love him. And it just was not enough, for sure. And I'm so grateful. But, yeah, even though I was doing what I wanted to when I left, it was still rough. And
yeah, did you wonder about yourself, like when you all of a sudden start feeling these things? Like, what was your thought process?
What is wrong with me? This is, you know, because I have what a lot of people would so want. And so what's wrong with me?
Right.
But I needed something else. I had gotten, hopefully, besides learning lessons, hopefully, you know, he learned there also good things. But when it's time to move, it's time to move. And that's one of the things I've learned in my life, that, you know, holding on to something, and just because you're being cowardly, gets you nowhere.
Yeah, and being able to recognize and have the courage to pursue what your inner voice is telling you, whether it makes sense to you or anyone else at the time.
And that's going, yeah, because you're taking a risk for sure.
Yeah.
But what if we didn't take risks?
Yeah,
how
right.
horrible would that be?
Well,
I just can't imagine not taking risks.
Yeah. I think once you take a couple risks and you don't die, you go, oh, I think I can do this.
Right. And if it does kill you, well, then you come back and maybe you'll be a little more cautious.
Right, know? Or just don't have to go through that again. Like, that's right. enough. Right. Yeah.
Take some other risks next time. I've been there.
Yeah, I think that's important to think about with the Saturn returns, or really whenever you're having any kind of a crisis. First of all, to remember the actual definition of crisis. It's not like total chaos and, oh my God, it doesn't have to be what we think of. It's really just a breaking down of what's happening right now. You're going through a transformation to break through into something else. So to always look at challenges like, okay, I know that this is a time for me to grow. It never isn't. It's funny that we don't realize that. I mean, myself included.
We have to remind ourselves sometimes.
It's also about a time of facing and conquering fear.
Right.
Yeah. How about you, Nicole? Did you have a traumatic or dramatic Saturn return?
Yeah, around, it's usually between 27 and 30. And around 27, I was in a relationship, and it just stopped abruptly. And it totally, first of all, had me run into the fact that I got way too attached to someone for reasons other than reality. Really falling in love with the person's higher self and not really giving time to see what the reality self, if they're going to line up or not. So that was a huge slam. And I was so depressed. I couldn't eat. And I was losing weight, which I was thrilled about, but I was still not happy. And that really also taught me something about, you know, it doesn't matter what you have, whether it be the body, the car, the apartment, whatever, it's not going to make you happy if you're not happy.
Yeah.
So, and then also a lot of my friends were just staying in the same spot. My friends that I made in acting school, they were kind of in a place, like I felt like they were on the road to old age and they were only like in their 30s. So I was like, I really need people that understand what I'm talking about when I reach for new ideas and have things to teach me. And I told my father that all about my unhappiness, and he said, all right, put on your meditation cape, go up on the roof and tell the universe what you want. So I figured, well, I have nothing to lose. So I went up there and I said, all right, universe, here you go. This is what I want. I want new friends. I want this. I want that. And 12 days later, I met a few people that introduced me to the whole group of people that was going to be my friends for the next few years, and ended up taking me across country because of one of them. And so it really was. And then I was thinking about 30, but then by the time I got to 30, I was like, eh, no big deal. I already stressed about it enough. It's fine. And it was.
How wonderful of your father, Nick. That was just, he had the answer.
Totally. Totally. And that was really my first knowing that you could ask the universe for what you want and that it actually really happened.
Yeah.
So that was a huge, that totally, I feel like I was one person up until that 27 and then I became another.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those times are always, I mean, that definitely, and then like a small Saturn return was really working as a bartender at the top of the mountain. I mean, it's the best job. From there, you just move parallelly or you just get more for what you're doing. But that's the top of the mountain. And I was miserable. I was like, oh, my God, same thing like you said. What's wrong with me? Why isn't this enough? And and then I started reading Living in the Light by Shakti Gawain. And it totally changed into me doing spirit therapy now. So that was a little, it was a time when, you know, I felt God had forsaken me and then got what I asked for, which was time to figure it out, and I did. So I think these things can apply to any time in your life when you're having a crisis. And maybe we should go into that. Like, what are some of the, I mean, we've been giving stories, but what are some of the things that you can, when you're freaking out in the darkness, you have these tools that are always there and you can always pick up one of them and they will work, or one of them will work.
You know, it's the quintessential shamanic journey, facing the darkness. And I think that when a Saturn return hits and we're faced with the darkness and the fear, that's our signal that we're about to become more empowered, more able to make commitments, more responsible for the pebble in the pond that we are. Because going into the darkness, if you avoid it, it gangs up on you.
Oh, yes.
And it's a lot about, we talked about this earlier, Nick, it's a lot about this here. I think my major lesson has been to take risks and to not fear. And for me, one of the largest risks is not being afraid. So, you know, I mean, and people might find that a little strange for me to say, being afraid. Well, fear that I'm not going to get the bill paid. Fear that, you know, anything that all of us combined. And sometimes it just gets way out of pocket. And I think that I'm one of those kinds of drama queens that can, you know, basically go into way out of pocket at times. But then again, that's how I develop my creativity, too. So finding that balance and understanding that there is always going to be light with the dark, and conquering fear the best you might, you know, Everybody does it in another, in certain ways. I know some people that use a sense of humor. Other people who might go out and take up a new physical exercise or sport. There are many positive ways, but you can't forget to sit down within that darkness and define it. And that's the only way you're going to conquer it, because knowledge is power. That's the blade we get when we go in and we face whatever it is we're most afraid of.
Good advice.
What you said is very true, as far as if you don't address it, the issue, whatever, it's going to get worse. And so whatever it takes to go within is what you need to do. And I think one of the things, and sometimes it's hard if you're in like the dark night of the soul kind of thing, but to remember that other people have faced this. And, you know, my answer is always like going back to books and things, but there's so many inspiring books and people who talk about the journeys they've made. And to, you know, it just sort of reassures you that you aren't the only person that's ever faced this.
Yeah, the universal themes of life.
Well, and there's one really wonderful book that I always like to bring up with this. And what we're talking about is key-like passages, like your Uranus opposition or what they call midlife crisis. And remember, too, when Saturn hits, your Kundalini begins to rise, too, every time. But there's a book that was written many years ago by Barbara Handclough called The Liquid Light of Sex. And it's all about key life passages based on your astrological influences. And she goes into the descriptions of those psychological stages that therapists and Jungians have grown very accustomed to working with as tools for therapy, which is what I said, the key life passages. And it just enlightens. And once you have that information, that knowledge, understanding that this is your life journey, this is nature, it makes a difference, because then you know how to turn and address.
Yeah, the perspective. You don't feel like you're alone and you're just this meat sack running around trying to make life work for you and maybe you failed. I think that's where depression comes from, is that separation and thinking that you screwed up.
Yeah.
Right. And if you can just acknowledge that there's not really, we don't really make mistakes as such. Right. We just go off on little pathways that might not be the most advantageous to us, but we can always get back on another path. And because I think people just beat themselves up so much.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. We're taught that, you know, because we are not taught that we are wonderful, special, unique, gifted people. Most people aren't taught that, and so it's one of those discoveries.
Especially if your uniqueness and your specialness is not charted at the school system.
Yeah.
Or maybe you don't know really what your special gift is, but you're looking for it, and that's just as important as having it.
Yes, well, just like the journey is as important as the destination.
Yeah, right. And so, then we never get it done. We actually have a caller. I don't know if they're calling to listen, or let's open up to Carrie's River.
I want to talk.
Caller, you're on the air if you... listening. Okay, very good. Okay, very good. That's also Walk with Spirit. Nice. I had the sense. So go on with what you were saying, Ruth Ann.
Oh, I don't know what was I saying. I think that we have to acknowledge ourselves, and we have to, if nobody has taught us about our uniqueness and our specialness, it's something that we have to acknowledge ourselves.
Yeah, because only we really know.
And doing for some people, I understand that. Because if you've been just beaten down or have that feeling your whole life, it takes something to be aware of how wonderful you are.
Yeah, and how everyone's road is not the same. One analogy that really helped me a lot is because I went through many transitions as to what I wanted to do, be an actress, be a singer, be in a comedy, all these things that I was good at and I did enjoy, but it really didn't fulfill everything, like you were saying earlier. Something was missing. And also the roads and the doors that would open weren't always quite exactly what I wanted. And so I thought of Derek Jeter, who from a young age knew he wanted to be a shortstop for the New York Yankees. And then at 17, he's training to be a shortstop for the New York Yankees. And at 23, he became a shortstop for the New York Yankees. And now he just recently retired, being the best shortstop. And, you know, but that's one road, and he knew it from the get-go. And it's either your road or it's not your road, and it doesn't make it a better road just because he knew from 4 years old exactly what he wanted to do.
No.
And everyone's road is different, and you can't compare to anyone else's. Same thing with acting. You know, people see their friends, everyone graduates the same day, and some people all of a sudden have an agent, have a commercial, and, you know, they're auditioning for Broadway. And meanwhile, you can barely get a student film, you know.
Yeah.
So you feel like, well, what's wrong with me? But actually, Deborah Messing, I met before she was, as we all know her, Deborah Messing.
Uh-huh.
She told me that. She said, you know, I watched all my friends do all these things, and I was the only one that couldn't get it together, quote unquote. But everyone has their timing, and everyone has the way their path is going to go. And there's really very little you can do about it. You just have to pay attention to what's coming your way and what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah. You can. There's an old phrase, let go and let God.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of those, you do all you possibly can without making yourself go crazy, and you put it out to the universe.
Right.
And the universe, like, you know, when you went up on the rooftop and said what you wanted, the universe listened.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you don't even necessarily have to believe. I mean, this was kind of like, prove it to me. Like Gwen always says, all right, so show me. And that was my show me, you know. All right, universe, I hear people can talk to you and ask for things and you bring it. So let's see it. Yeah. I didn't really feel one way or the other about it and kind of forgot all about it. So, you know, it's not like you have to be a master believer to start the tune in with your spirit. And the universe will show you. It wants nothing more than to show you that it's here supporting you.
Right.
On any level.
Yeah, it is a very loving I don't want to say caring entity, really, I think.
Unconditional love, always. You can even believe that you're totally forsaken and that nobody loves you. Okay, we'll still love you through that. Go ahead, do your thing. But we'll be here. You can think what you want.
Yeah, go get silly.
Yeah. What do you think, Gwen?
I think that we do sway our course. I think we have the ability to change our minds, and that somebody totally, an event, an action, or a person can totally change our lives in just the flip of a switch. That's one of the gifts of being human and in the third dimension, I guess.
And having free will. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I always, when folks say, well, you can't change certain things and all that, it prickles the back of my neck, you know? And I think, oh, yeah? And I've been in trouble all my life for that.
Yeah, it is about choices. But I think we get guided towards certain choices because that is our life path that we have laid out for ourselves. It can change.
Agreed.
but some things is just your nature and is not going to change. You just have to figure it out. You know, like what you're really good at, what you really love to do, you know, that does change in life. But I think you love those things at that time for however long, because that's what your spirit and you, the true you, really wants to be doing. So, and I think that gives a little, it's like someone is steering the ship. It's not haphazard, well, we're going to India, we're going to the Caribbean, we're going wherever we feel at any second, you know, it's willy-nilly, whatever I think. It's not, I think that's part of the trusting our inner voice and trusting instead of fearing, is to know that you are being guided. These things do feel good to you for a reason. It's not just because that's what you want to do. And that may also mean, you know, doing nothing today because it's a rainy day outside and whatever happens, happens. Like honoring that that's how it makes you feel. But like Ruth Ann said, you know, if you're in week 3 and you haven't really done anything, you're still in your pajamas, you know, maybe you want to recheck in with that voice. See what's really going on.
Time.
What'd you say?
Well, there comes a time when you've got to stop being quite so going with the flow, so to speak.
Right, but I think it's important to go with the flow, even if that flow may end up being, quote-unquote, the wrong flow. Now you know that 3 weeks of sitting in your pajamas does not make you happy because you're like, okay, well.
Exactly.
But sometimes doing that, then you know, and you know that if you're going to honor yourself, your true self will not tell you to sit in your pajamas for 3 weeks because it knows it doesn't like it. So honoring when it happens, and, you know, I think it's all the trusting, really. I think a lot of this Saturn returns, and when if we fall into a depression or life slams us with something, it really is how fast can we remember that we are loved, remember that we are supported, and remember that this is part of our path, and identify it, like Gwen said, see what's really going on here, what could possibly be the lesson, and choose the best thought. Choose, make choices on based on how they feel and see what happens. I think it's the best way to learn about yourself.
Well, and there again, if it doesn't work quite like maybe to your advantage at the time, still do not beat up on yourself.
Right.
Because you have learned from it. It has been a lesson.
Right.
Some of those lessons we wish we could get in different ways, in less painful ways, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Actually, this article that I posted in the chat room gives a few suggestions for when you're going through a Saturn returns. So I thought maybe I'd share those.
Yes. What? Give us some ideas.
So one is just let go. Don't be afraid to release what no longer serves you. A job, anything that doesn't bring you joy. Being able to have the courage to say, okay, let's see what happens if we take a leap here, a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. And like that goes along with what I was saying of following your bliss, of course. And then the second one is revise your expectations, both of how you thought your life should be at this point and where you think you're going. Saturn Returns is all about exploration, learning, and deep inner reflection. Be gentle to yourself during this 3-year period. Don't hold on to anything too tightly and learn to embrace change, right along the lines of what we've been saying.
Yeah.
I like this one. Go on a future trip. Saturn Returns is all about self-reflection. Turning inward will help you ride the waves more smoothly. Let your imagination and those inner voices guide you. If you dream about traveling the world, taking photos for National Geographic, but you currently feel trapped in a desk job, trust that picture in your mind. Where our mind drifts is the most often where our heart is. Let yourself dream about your innermost desires. By visualizing yourself doing things that bring you joy, you can step into your future more gracefully. I trust my daydreams, and went from a conservative advertising corporate climber to a wanderlust travel writer. Always trust your inner voice. That sounds a little bit like Gwen's story, how she went from corporate America to healing the world with aromatherapy.
Right.
You want to say a little bit, Gwen, there?
Well, you know, all of my life, I've just done it my way. But during my formative years, during my childhood and my young adulthood, I was tasked to be within a institutional, traditional step, because that's the way I grew up. I was in, you know, prep schools, boarding schools, all of that kind of thing. And I was straining at it. That was not a place that it was in natural conflict to who I was. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
It's like, if you give me a rule where you say I can't wear my, you know, knee-high suede fringe boots, I'm going to wear them. And I'll say that I've got riding class.
That's funny because... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Because that's number four. Be unapologetic about your desires. This is the time of your life to take stock. Be honest with yourself, and you will liberate yourself from all of the baggage you're carrying around.
That sounds right, yeah. Because mm-hmm. Along with rebelling, I also felt the guilt of letting down a family member or what have you. Mm-hmm. But in my college years, I was in New York living in the city one summer, and I went directly down because I fell into this wonderful treat. I got to take a summer session with Joe Campbell. And my whole life changed directions, and since then, I have always sought what I work at now. I mean, I really did take Follow Your Bliss to heart.
Yeah, me too. He's really a game changer. If you haven't checked out Joseph Campbell yet, that should be the next thing on your list, because I was like, all right, Mr. Campbell, with your Follow Your Bliss and doors will open where no doors were before and wouldn't be for anyone else. All right, let's see. And joy, it works. Show me, right.
Well, you know, also, there's something here that's important about Campbell's work. He reminded us all how important our ancestral stories are. What they're about. They're about the life journey, much as what we're talking about. It's the hero's story. And before he crossed, he bemoaned the fact that society was losing its myth. There was no myth and for modern man. And, of course, it's being constructed right now. And I think one of it is this wonderful tool we're working with right now is helping to form what in our community has always been looked at as coming forth, which is a global consciousness. And in that is an emergence of a brand new hero story, because we are seeing the emergence of a global culture right now. I think that with all of the differences and everything that separates us in groups and in countries, and we're transcending it online, much of us, many of us.
Yes.
And this is providing a platform for the emergence of a global culture, which a lot of my anthropology buddies are always hitting me on the head about, but you know, what, take away the sacredness of a culture? No, create a new one. It's like, and I know Rock and ID with this. You know, you learn all these wonderful traditions and you study different cultures and their traditions, and especially in what is called Wicca or witchcraft or anything that has emerged out of deeper, older cultures. I always understood that creating my own ceremonies, writing my own recipes, having my own journey work develop and be able to share it with others so they could do the same is vital. And I think that's what's the bedrock of this new emerging culture. Not in witchcraft, mind you, but in the journey work of creating a life.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ra.
No, I totally agree. That's, I was just like, mm-hmm.
That hero's journey, it's a great thing to add to our toolbox here, is looking at your life as the hero's journey. And the myth is so important because it shows us universal themes that we can all relate to, different parts of ourselves, the light, the dark, the shadow, the warrior, anything that we can then channel through our many lives. You know, what are my traits here? What are my character traits? And what does this journey look like? What does it look like I'm going towards? Seeing it from a bird's eye view, I think that's how myth helps me very much, because you identify with the character just like any good story. And, you know, there's so many universal themes that we can all identify with. So to use the myth that way, that we all have our own myth, that's why we love it so much.
Mm. Oh, it's true. But they're similar. We can hear someone talking about their own myth or sitting around a campfire when they're telling the story, and we so relate to it.
Yeah.
You know, names, dates, whatever may be changed, but we can really, really relate to it. I love that.
Yeah. And the last on the list is release resistance, which is a huge theme no matter who you are and no matter where Saturn is for you. Releasing resistance, and which really means resisting the fear and releasing those potholes that we can fall into and start walking on our path again, not carrying so many bags. This is what the article says. Let go of "when it happens, I will be happy," or saying to yourself that "I should be further along now in life than I am." During this period of life, you want to reflect on your own journey. Do your best not to compare yourself to anyone else. Remember that it's never too late ever to be the person who you are really supposed to be. And that's who you say you're supposed to be, not what anybody else. The pain, depression, and turbulence in our lives often comes when we hold on to patterns, beliefs, jobs, relationship choices, environments that are no longer serving us. Letting go and releasing your resistance to the unknown will help you glide into the next phase of your life. That's Ramtha's tagline: make known the unknown.
Make known the unknown. Mm-hmm. Well, I got a better one. Forget about it.
Guy Pacha said that in his report this week. He said his favorite yoga teacher's mantra was, "and whatever."
Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty much going, you know, I don't know this week.
Yeah. Well, and he's going through, I mean, he's been all over the world, and in the past 2 months,
yeah,
he did his report from Egypt and Turkey and all these awesome places. And but then, you know, he's been trying to build a house, and then he got turned down for the loan, even though he had the money. And then he said, you know, you can think all kinds of things, like, should I not build this house? What is this, a sign? Like, am I what? And you totally question everything. So I think it sounded like that just happened. So
yeah, well, he just got married too.
Right.
You know, no one knows what's happening with Tom, but he always lands on his feet. He's like a big sleek panther cat. You know?
Yeah, well, and that's what Kai Pacha means, is the puma. if you have, you're listening and you haven't tuned into the Pele Report on YouTube, he puts it out every Wednesday, and it's a great look at what's going on with the stars and talk about the universal themes of the planets. So, and Saturn's a big player these days. Saturn is in Sagittarius, and then it's retrograding back into Scorpio, and then next year, I think September or something, it's going to be right in the same position it is right now. So I think that's an interesting look. It's like, okay, yes, we're moving forward, but we'll still have a chance to go back and do whatever we need, more adjusting. I think that happens in April when it goes back into Scorpio for a minute. And then, okay, so now that we've readjusted, now we're really maybe where we think we should be now. Because that's also been a big theme of the astrologers I've been listening to, is that many old souls, light workers, people paying attention, feel like they should be further along than where they are. That's a huge running theme.
Yes, and it is. Yeah, I agree. I've heard that.
So if that's what everybody's going through, you know, it does make you feel a little better. And it also helps us to just calm down on it. Okay, well, maybe next year when Saturn's in the same place, we will be where we thought we should have been this year. Perspective always tells you a lot.
Well, you know, the key words to a lot of what's going on now is innovation and subconsciousness, intuition with will. And the theme is basically challenge, but eccentricity, humanitarianism, rebellion, progressiveness, and originality are way out there as bright lights on the edge right now. On the other side, in the darkness, is indulgence and impulsiveness. We get chaotic and powerless, and we delude. We're full of self-delusions all the time. That's when we doubt ourselves. But that is basically, too, something that can be balanced working with the third eye chakra. You know that?
Nice. Tell us some more.
Well, no, that was basically it.
The third eye chakra, like how?
Well, you can work with the third eye and balance. Okay, just one moment. Let me get to my own notes here. Let's see. Oopsie-doodie.
Yeah, because the third eye is really tuning us in with it. It's the other sight. So it's right along the lines of tuning in and identifying with your own hero's journey and everything that talks to you. So that makes perfect sense as an anchoring point.
Well, part of the third eye dynamic is sharing. Mm-hmm. And it's that... The third eye is that chakra that, you know, all chakras, of course, are through the body and they're dynamic in our light body that surrounds our whole body. It's an indigo bluish emanation when it's in perfect harmony, you know? And you got to remember that it's your third eye chakra that at supraluminal speed is allowing you to access all the subtle information and stimuli that we experience in tandem with our physical stimuli surrounding us. I mean, think about all that you're downloading at the moment. Just looking out, smelling, breathing, perceiving the next question. You follow where I'm going. This is huge. I mean, it would take a room full of computers. So it transforms all that data. And that's a Herculean task. You know what I'm saying? When our third eye is out of balance on a weak side, it's in self-involvement and absorbed in our own bubble. And this is why we're seeing religious zealotry right now. A dominion of those around you. You know, it's like I just saw on Oso just posted a piece of people marching in Missouri, and there were a bunch of Ku Klux Klan people on the side of the road booing them and stuff and saying things and throwing epithets at them, you know?
Yeah.
It's a manipulation becomes the primary behavior pattern in that. And when it's overactive, it's a gross exceeding of all of those conditions. But when we're working with our balanced third eye chakra, we have a charismatic and honest allowing of others relationship with life. We look for new adventures. You know, we get past the fear. And the people who have extraordinarily balanced third eye chakras are natural healers. And most of them are very unattached to any kind of materialism. And they share without any expectancy. If you're in the deep end and you're rushing in without regard to anyone around you, if your spiritual quest is more significant than the journey of others, or you feel superior to others in any way, your integrity is out of whack. And that's part of the third eye chakra balancing. You can counterbalance your third eye chakra from that perspective, too, using the crown chakra. You know, you can use the violet or white-like hues of your crown chakra to bring a balance in creative visualization work in your meditations.
And Daughters of Isis makes a wonderful third eye essential oil and crown chakra, all the chakras, including the upper chakras, which are pretty awesome, up to the 12th, and with the violet flame that helps to work with the kundalini energy. So you can find Daughters of Isis at daughtersofisis.com or on Facebook.
Or at spirittherapynyc.com.
Exactly. Yes. And while we're at it, Spirit Therapy is giving 50% off for the month of December in Spirit Therapy sessions, private sessions with me, and also intuitive drawings, which are an interesting either gift to give to someone or for yourself. Our intuitive drawer, Zion, tunes in with you, talks about what's going on, and draws you a picture that comes through his consciousness for you to meditate with and to help you visually work through these big life concepts. So, yes, spirittherapynyc.com. And Ruthann, how about you tell us where you're at?
Where I'm at?
Where people can find you and your wonderful radio shows.
At Air Marte Field Radio on Facebook, our page. And then also my wall, where my name is spelled not the right way necessarily. Ruthann is my Facebook page, but underneath it has Ruthann the right way. The spelling is just different because of my major hack. you can still find me. And please, yes, people, if we were friends before and we aren't now, friend me. I'm putting that out because I lost over 4,000 Facebook friends.
Wow. Cleaning out. And then the right ones will come back, right?
There you go. Pretty much. That's how it's working. Yeah. But yeah, we have a variety of shows on the channel. So it's here on Blog Talk. So it's all good. I think, I mean, we need to get out as much variety as we can in alternative media because we're not, people are not getting the truth from mainstream media by any means. So, yeah, it's important that we offer the truth, you know. So I'm very happy to be part of that.
One of the pictures I posted, it says, first rule of Saturn Returns, talk about Saturn Returns. And I think that is important, either, you know, listening to other people talking about topics that you're interested in and talking with people about the truth of what's going on. It doesn't necessarily mean that we get stuck in negative or poverty, whatever that means, money or otherwise, talking, but to express the truth of what's going on. And then I always like to, okay, now that I've gotten out everything, we see what's dirty, what's clean, what's, you know, some pieces of shit that got in there that we don't need, and then piecing together what is the lesson here, and what is, you know, let's end it on our conversation on a positive note, so that's where your momentum is going now. But I think, you know, especially for people that are intuitive or psychic, whether they know it or do it for a living or not, it's irrelevant. I think a lot of us are more intuitive than we realize right now. And so I've noticed that one thing that really bothers me is when someone's talking like everything's fine when you know it's not. Their energy's all over the map, and it's not even like they're just trying to focus on the positive. It's like incongruent. Or when everything's fine and we're talking just constantly about what's not good, you know, then it's like, okay, let's balance it out here with ourselves and others. I mean, I think, you know, that's no judgment. We all do it, but to do our best, really, to focus on the positive, which means we're always protected, we're always loved, and this is our life journey, and we never get it done. So enjoy even when the shit hits the fan.
Yeah, right.
I think that's the true master, that can still enjoy themselves even if, you know, something big just happened that shakes your whole world.
Right. If something doesn't go quite the way we planned, hey, embrace it. Yeah. There again, go with it. Because this is the way we're learning. This is the way we're growing.
Absolutely. I was thinking to close with this song, this Florence and the Machine. I really like her. Her voice is sort of like a very strong angelic.
I like her too, yeah.
And the song is called Shake It Out, and it helps me. So anything else, ladies? Should we leave it at that?
Thank you, man. Enjoy the full moon.
Yes. Full moon today in Gemini, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So any thoughts you're having, write it down, think about it, take a little meditation, and keep it moving. Thank you, P. Nolan, for listening in, and thank you, Walk with Spirit, who is also listening in. And we hope to see you next week. Tomorrow we have the Sunday show at 6 p.m. with Gwen. It's different political talks and discussions. And Monday night at 7 p.m., we have Spirit Therapy Radio with me. We'll talk about something that picks up from here. And Ruth Ann has, what's your next show?
Our next show will be on Monday with Left Turn with Stuart Alexander and the dialogue with myself and a few other people, sort of a round table. Yeah.
What time?
It starts at 6.
Nice.
And then 7, and the same Monday and Tuesday. I mean, yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The shows are from 6 to 8.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, ladies. Thank you, everyone. And we will see you next week. Have a great week.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. It's not. sounds like it's having quite an echo. So you get the point. Check it out. Shake It Out by Florence. Lots of
have
love,
a great
people.
Week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.